بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعضها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. اللهم صل على محمد، لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه صلوات. I would like to congratulate all of you on the arrival of this holy month of Rajab, which is also called as Asab in Arabic, means the month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides a lot of mercy. Asab means, dropping a lot. So this is where Allah drops His mercy, provides His mercy, showers His mercy a lot. So this month is one of the Ashhurul Hurum, one of those months where qital is haram in Islam with the kuffar. You can defend yourself anytime if somebody attacks you. But, fighting a war against kuffar is not permissible in this month. And even in the days of Jahiliyyat, when there was ignorance all over in the time of shirk and kufr, the people of Makkah and the pagans in Makkah used to consider this month as the month of dua. Even in their culture, it was considered to be a month of dua. They used to wait till the month of Rajab used to arrive to seek dua in this month. In Islam, month of Rajab is mentioned in the hadith of Holy Prophet as Mahe Ustuware Khudawand, a month which is certainly the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a month which belongs to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, a month which belongs to maghfirat and rahmat, abundant rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a month which is, this month in Islam is considered to be a muqaddima and prelude for Sha'ban. So we are preparing ourselves spiritually to enter into the month of Sha'ban, which is the month of Rasulullah. And that is where we prepare ourselves to enter into the month of Allah, which is Ramadan. Actually, in another hadith of Allah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says that there's a different expression and different statements from Rasulullah, unlike what we usually hear. Prophet has called the month of Rajab to be the month of Allah, and the month of Sha'ban to be the month of His, and month of Ramadan to be the month of the Ummat of Rasulullah. So this is another perspective of looking at the same thing. So also we find that certainly there are very beautiful du'as and available in the books of du'as that need to be recited. Some of the du'as every night, some in the specific night, especially the beginning of the month of Rajab is Laylatul Ihya. We have already crossed that level. We are not now already beyond that stage. But you know, Shabi Awwal, the night before the beginning of Rajab, is considered to be the night where we should try to keep awake throughout the night. And the middle of the month of Rajab is the most beloved day of Allah. Let us remember, the middle day of the month of Rajab is the most beloved day of Allah. And the end of this month, close to the end, we all know it's the day of the biggest rahmat of Allah ever arriving for the humankind. That is the Yawmul Mab'ath, the day when the Holy Prophet was commanded officially to start his propagation and start the guidance towards the entire humanity. That is the biggest rahmat of Allah, 27th of Rajab. And certainly on the 13th is the Wiladat of Mawlud al-Ka'ba, Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wa salam. And I already told you, I remember a couple of years ago about the Malik al-Da'i hadith from Rasulullah, where he had mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an angel called Da'i, the caller, the announcer, on the seventh sky. And this angel, every day of the month of, every night in the month of Rajab, he, you know, he announces, this Malik al-Da'i announces on every ninth night of this holy month that, you know, and he announces good news for all those people who are doing the tasbih of Allah. And good news for all those people who are doing the ita'at and obedience of Allah. Khusha bihale muti'an wa faiman bardaran. And good news for all those people who are jaleef and hamnashin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the teachers and you know, scholars was saying that, isn't that a point to pay attention, that in the month of Rajab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to sit along with Allah, become jaleef and hamnashin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that a unique thing that Allah is asking, especially in this month? So, and also, the angel Da'i, he announces that whosoever calls Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is there to answer. Whosoever seeks hidayat and guidance from Allah, Allah says, I will guide him. And so we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is announcing His rahmat and forgiveness specifically in this month of Rajab. And all of you must be remembering the importance of today, which is the first Thursday of this month, the night that is going to arrive after the time of Adhan of Maghrib, is the night, is the Laylatul Raghaib, how the angels call it, the Laylatul Raghaib. That's what the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in his hadith, that the angels call this night as Laylatul Raghaib. So, So basically, this is the night where this is that special occasion where all the angels of Allah gather at the Holy Kaaba, all the angels of heaven, and all the angels of earth. They gather at Holy Kaaba, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala asks them, what is your demand? What do you want? And angels of Allah demand from Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala that our hajat and our desire is that you forgive those people who are fasting in the month of Rajab. And Allah says that well, I accepted your hajat. So we realize from this narration that if a person fasts in the month of Rajab, all the angels of Allah combined have asked this dua that he should be forgiven, and Allah has already agreed that he is going to forgive. So there is no doubt about this matter. All we need is to take the benefit from this blessing and seek the forgiveness of Allah, specifically through fasting, which is that ibadat of Allah, which is farthest away from riya. Because other ibadat, when we do, there is a likelihood that a person may end up in riya and showing off. Whereas in fasting, it's the farthest ibadat from riya, because nobody knows you are fasting unless you yourself tell him. When you are praying, you don't need to tell anybody. People can see that you are praying. When you give sadaqah, you don't need to tell. People can, in most of the time, see that you are giving the sadaqah. But in the fasting, it is different. So the key to the fasting is to maintain our ikhlas and not to end up in any kind of, riya, because that is basically destructive to our a'mal. And al-mura'i person who performs riya and showing off of the a'mal to the humans instead of doing it for the sake of Allah sincerely, if we do an act of worship in order to show off to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that mura'i person is addressed with four names. إن المرائي يدعى بأربعة أسماء. There are four names how a murai, a riyakar, person showing off, is addressed. Ya ghadir, ya kazib, ya fajir, and ya murai. So, ghadir means hile ghar, dhokebaz, a deceiving person. And fajr, of course, is obvious, somebody who transgresses the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, goes beyond the divinely assigned rules and limits, violator of the limits of Allah. And of course, kazib means a liar. So every mura'i is a liar also. So basically, fasting, if it is done in the proper way, cleanses a person spiritually. One day of fasting makes us 1 year travel distance away from the hellfire. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam has said, one day of fasting in the month of Rajab takes us so far away from the flames of the hellfire as far as you need to travel the distance in 1 year of travel. And 3 days of fasting makes a person enter into the paradise. So if we have the fasting in this month, basically this is one of the best opportunities to gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. We were discussing about the makarim al-akhlaq in our discussion of Thursdays. In discussion reached the makarim al-akhlaq, where I was mentioning to you the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he said that in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala khassa Rasulullah the makarim al-akhlaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically provided Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah, with the highest of the moral attributes. فَامْتَحِنُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, test yourselves, examine yourselves. فَإِنْ كَانَ فِيكُمْ, if you find the high level moral attributes in you, فَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, then praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal. And then وَرْغَبُوا إِلَيْهِ فِي زِيَادَةٍ مِنْهَا, and be eager towards Allah that He provides an increase in those high level of moral attributes. And then Imam started to count. فَذَكَرَهَا أَشْرَكًا, Imam counted 10 as the highest level of moral attributes are abundant. You go, you open up the books of Akhlaq, you find a huge list of Islamic moral attributes. But all of those are not counted to be makarim al-akhlaq. We are talking about only the highest level of morality. There are some highest level of morality, and these are the highest level of morality according to this hadith, which is from Usul al-Kafi. The first is yaqeen, that we already discussed. And the second one is qana'at. And was-sabr is the third. Was-shukr, qana'at means being content with what Allah provided to you. And, have the mediocre part in your tasarrufat and expenditure. Was-sabr means patience and resilience. Shukr means gratefulness towards Allah, specifically being grateful practically through our obedience. Was-rida means being pleased with Allah's decisions. Husnul khulq, that means having good moral behavior, good morality. And sakha means generosity. And ghairat, not able to be translated in English. And shuja'at being the spiritual courage of a person ready to obey in all and any situation that he encounters in his everyday life. And muruwat again, which is hard to be translated. So today we will discuss about the second of the makarim al-akhlaq, which is qana'at, which has been mentioned as the biggest richness. The highest level of the richest of all the humans is not the person who plays in millions or billions of dollars. The richest of all the humans, in the light of the hadith of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam, is the person who enjoys qana'at, in his life. That means he is content. He is content with what Allah has provided to him. And whosoever is not ready to be content, he cannot harm divine decisions, because the hadith says that if we are not ready to do the sabr and patience, Allah's decisions are still going to be implemented and enforced. Whether we like it, whether we don't like it, that's irrelevant. So it is wise to like Allah's decisions and be content with it, and not to have a greed for more, and also get the rewards and blessings because of that behavior. So iqtisad and qana'at are basically used in Arabic and ilm al-akhlaq in the similar, as synonyms in the similar meanings, means i'tidal in our behavior. Iqtisad means i'tidal, and which is mutaradif for qana'at. So it is, let me read the technical definition of the word qana'at in front of you first. Al-qasdu huwa al-istiqama wal-murad i'tidal al-insan wa istiqamatuhu fi sarf malihi wa infaqatihi li nafsihi wa ayalihi. Qana'at and iqtisad is, it means that you have istiqamat. Istiqamat means you are following the straight path. The straight path is the middle path of Islam. You're following the middle, straight, mediocre path of Islam in terms of your expenditures, you know, towards yourself and towards your family. And this middle path of Islam is between the two extremes. Let's see what the Holy Quran has said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Those when they spend, لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا, they don't do the israf, they are not wasteful, وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا, and they are not tight-fisted in their expenditures either. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. And the moderation is between the two. That means between the two extremes. So the moderate path and path of i'tidal of Islam is between the two extremes of israf, which is haram in Islam, and for every israf you have to give khums, and between taqtir, being tight-fisted in your expenditures, that you have the money to take care of the necessities of your family's life, but you are still so tight-fisted and that you're not ready to provide them what they need in the time of their need. This is strongly condemned in Islam. So between these two extremes, being mu'tadil and mediocre in your behavior, this is what is called iqtisad and qana'at, that you are content. And also it has been mentioned that al-qana'atu malun la yanfad. Qana'at is a richness that never ends. Whether you have more or you have less, as long as you are following the path of i'tidal and mediocre path of Islam, your money never ends. This is, now you have the richness and wealth that never ends, because you have qana'at. Even if you have millions or billions of dollars, if you don't have qana'at, it's not going to last forever. A day would may arrive that you may end up into becoming into a different situation. So basically, the key to, like they say, in, especially in the Western society, that you are basically two paychecks away from filing Chapter 11. Isn't that right? Filing bankruptcy, no matter you make billions of dollars, or make, you know, tens of billions of dollars in your life, it's irrelevant. You know, because nobody has cash, you have the credit line, line of credit. Isn't that right? So if you don't receive the two paychecks, and the warnings would arrive, and the cops would come, and the collection agency would come, and you would be standing outside, and you would leave all your multi-billion estates in the hands of the collection agency. So basically, it really doesn't matter how much money you make. What matters is what is your behavior when it comes to spending your money. Are you responsible enough to have a wise behavior? This is what Islam is teaching us. So every human being has a right to spend the money according to his or her social status. Haythiyatun urfiyya. Sha'ne urfi. Every human being has been awarded this right. Islam is a logical religion. Islam doesn't ask me and you to live a life where we get insulted in front of the community. So, you know, I wear clothes which are ripped apart from 10 places and, you know, I get insulted every now and then. This is not what Islam has asked me to do. Imam Sadiq al-Islam was wearing a very simple cloth and shirt inside and wearing a very nice cloth and shirt on the outside when he met with Sufyan al-Thawri, who was one of the heads of the firqa and sect of Sufi sect, which were misguided. And he objected on Imam Sadiq al-Islam that your grandfather Imam Ali al-Islam used to wear a shirt with patches, and you are wearing such a nice shirt. And then Imam Sadiq al-Islam said to him that, which I'm paraphrasing in my own words, the gist of his statement, that in those days when Imam Ali al-Islam was living, that was the time when people, you know, the community were poor. You know, that was the time when people embraced Islam recently, Muslims were poor, they were not financially established. This, in the days of Imam Sadiq al-Islam, people were not poor. The social status and the financial status of the people had improved already. So the Imam of Muslimin is is supposed to live according to the least of the people, the situation where the lowest of the people are living. Imam Ali's time, he was living in accordance with the lowest level status of the people of his community, of his time. And in the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the people's situation financially has improved. So he has the right to wear a good shirt. And in order to tame his nafs and desires, he was wearing a simple shirt inside. But Imam said to him that you are wearing a very simple looking shirt from the outside, and inside he was wearing a very expensive shirt. So that is problematic. From inside he was hiding that shirt. If you have that sort of status in Islam, well, why are you posing in front of the community that you are a very faqir person? You know, the hadith of the Holy Prophet says, "Man tafaqara iftaqara." Whosoever poses to be faqir will become faqir. Islam doesn't allow you to pose faqir person in front of the people. You have to keep your dignity and respect. You know, protect your dignity and honor in front of the community. You have the right to spend your money according to your social needs of life. Now, if you don't opt to do that, that is your personal choice. You want to live a simpler standard of life. That's very good. You will get more thawab for a simple and sada zistan, you know, sada zindagi guzarna, simple form of life. That you will get more thawab. But then that's your personal choice. You cannot enforce your wife and children to have a simple standard of life just because you are choosing that simple standard of life for yourself. You are obliged to provide the necessary things that are necessity for them according to their status of living. It is your responsibility to provide the things that they need for their life and to fulfill their standard of living if you can afford it. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, a person passed away, and of course Prophet was there and he was buried. And after that, when Prophet was returning back from the funeral, there were certain kids, children who were begging on the streets, and Prophet was told that these children are the children of the same person who died. He had a lot of money, but he did not provide no money in his inheritance for his children, and the children were begging on the streets. Prophet said, when he learned that, Prophet said, if you told me that this is what he has done, I would not have allowed you to bury this person in the graveyards of Muslims. Who is not supposed to be buried in the graveyard of Muslims? A kafir. Isn't that right? And that's the hukum of the Sharia. It's haram for the kafir to be buried in the Muslim graveyard. It's haram for a Muslim to be buried in the kafir graveyard. Isn't that right? So when the Prophet said, if you told me earlier, I would not have allowed this person to be buried in the Muslim graveyard. This is the athar, one of the athar of kufr that the person has. That you, Allah gave you the money. Let me read one hadith that I have written down. We have this hadith from, from Wasail al-Shia, from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says, لو أن رجلا كان له مال يبلغ 30 أو 40 ألف درهم ثم شاء أن لا يبقى منها إلا وضعها في حق. If one of you has 30,000-40,000 dirhams, and in other words, he spends the whole money, فَيَبْقَى لَا مَالَ لَهُ, and then after spending whole of the money, he basically, and nothing remains in his hand, and then فَيَكُونُ مِنَ الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ يُرَدُّ دُعَاءُهُمْ, so he falls among one of those three categories of humans whose du'as are not accepted by Allah. And the narrator asked Imam Sadiq al-Islam that who is that person? That means, are those three category of people whose du'as are not accepted by Allah? And then Imam Sadiq al-Islam did not mention the hadith in here, is not, at least what I have written, doesn't, it talks about only, I have written only one of those where he says that أحدهم رجل كان له مال فأنفقه في وجهه ثم قال يا رب ارزقني فيقال له ألم أجعل لك سبيلا إلى طلب الرزق. So basically, a person, Allah provided him the money and the risk, and he spent the whole amount, and now he's praying to Allah, oh my Lord, give me money. This kind of person, his dua is never accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah provided you the money, you are the one who spent the whole of it without taking care of your responsibility, without being responsible in your spending. Now you yourself spent your money irresponsibly, and now you're asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the risk. This is not going to be accepted. It's already told in the hadith. So, Prophet has said that, أَفْضَلُ الصَّدَقَةِ مَا تَكُونُ مِنْ فَضْلِ الْكَفْرِ. The most superior of sadaqah is the one which is from extra money of your hand, more than your necessities of life. That means you give more than what is necessary for your life. Yes, you can give more, you can give things belonging to your own needs of life, but the money that belongs to you, not the money that belongs to your wife and children. This is called isar, which is very good in Islam. You don't spend it on yourself, you give your own belonging to some deserving and mustahak person, because you give preference to him upon yourself. This is very good, but this is about your own money, not the money belonging to your wife and children. If you do this kind of behavior towards your family, this is not what Islam has commanded us to do. And so basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran, Surah An-Nahl, that فَلَا نُحْيَيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We will certainly give him the, make him alive with a clean and tayyib life. A clean and tayyib life. And that has been interpreted in the tafsir that hayatan tayyiba is interpreted, you know, by Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam as hiyal qana'a. Hayatan tayyiba is actually qana'at. Those are the people who have qana'at, Allah has given them the tayyib lifestyle. This is the lifestyle which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers to be tayyib and clean. So, and also the hadith al-Qudsi has informed us about the fact that man qana'a shabi'a, wa man lam yaqna' lam yashba'. We need to remember this point in our lives, that whosoever has qana'at in his life, he is the one who can be full. He can be fulfilled. He can be satisfied. He can be satiated. But if you do not have qana'at in your life, nothing can fulfill you. Nothing can satisfy you. So the more you go for greed, the more greed you have, the more you will still go for more and more and more, which has no limits. So basically, the qanaat is the thing, is the only thing that can make us fulfilled. I would like to mention this hadith that we were talking about spending the money. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is in Al-Mawa'idh Al-Adadiyya, سَأَلْتُ جِبْرَئِيلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ عَنِ الصَّدَقَةِ. I asked Jibreel about sadaqah, and فَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ. Jibreel said, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, خَمْسَةُ أَوْجُهُ. There are five kinds. الْوَاحِدَةُ بِعَشْرَةٍ وَالْوَاحِدَةُ بِسَبْعِينَ وَالْوَاحِدَةُ بِسَبْعِمِئَةٍ وَالْوَاحِدَةُ بِسَبْعِينَ أَلْفًا وَالْوَاحِدَةُ بِمِئَةِ أَلْفٍ. So you give one sadaqah, you get 10 times of the reward. You give one sadaqah, some of the sadaqah, you get 10 times of the reward. Some sadaqah, you get, 70 times the reward. Some of the sadaqah, you get 700 times. Some of the sadaqah, you get 70,000 times reward. Some of the sadaqah, you get 100,000 times reward. فقلت يا جبرائيل أخبرني عن الواحدة بعشرة. I said to Jibreel, inform me about which is the sadaqah. If I give one, I get 10 times of the reward. So he said, تدفعها إلى رجل صحيح اليدين والرجلين والعينين. If you give your sadaqah to a person whose both the hands are right, صحيح, he has no illness, no sickness, he's not disabled, both of the hands, both of the feet, both of the eyes are salim and sahih and healthy. So you give sadaqah to such a mu'min person, well, to such a person you get, that kind of person, you get 10 times of the reward. And then Jibreel said, وَالْوَاحِدَةُ الَّتِي بِسَبْعِينَ تَدْفَعُهَا إِلَىٰ زَمِنٍ. So if you, that sadaqah, the second category, if you give one, you get 70 times of the reward. If you give the sadaqah to a person who has some disability or a sickness that lasts for a long time, somebody who is has illness that long lasts for a long time, or he has a disability, that means he doesn't have some of his parts of the body. And وَالَّتِي بِسَبْعِ مِئَةٍ تَدْفَعُهَا إِلَى الْوَالِدَيْنِ. And 700 times reward is when you give sadaqah to your walidain. If your parents or one of your parents need your money, then you have to give the sadaqah first and foremost to your own walidain. This is a very important priority in the eyes of Islam, that you take care of your walidain first. And if you take care of your walidain and parents first, your reward, $1, will equal to 700 times of the reward. Sab'a mi'a. And then, وَالَّتِي بِسَبْعِينَ أَلْفًا تَبْفَعُهَا إِلَى الْأَمْوَاتِ. And the sadaqah which has 700 times of the reward is the sadaqah, sadaqah which has, 70,000 of the reward. Because for the parents it was 700. $1 equals to 700 times. And now we are transferring to 70,000 times. Not 700, 70,000 times reward. This is the sadaqah that you give for the amwat, for the dead people. Everybody has some dead people in his family. There isn't any human being who has no dead person of his family. So if you remember your dead people and you give sadaqah, $1 for the niyat of your grandfather who passed away, for example, this sadaqah has 70,000 times, $1, 70,000 times of the reward. And then he said that, وَالَّتِي بِمِئَةِ أَلْفٍ تَدْفَعُهَا إِلَىٰ طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. And the last one that has 100,000 times reward, $1, 100,000 of the times of the reward is that if you give it to a religious student, somebody who is learning the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt and Ahlul Salam, and you support a religious student. So this is of course the highest of the rewards, and basically you are investing in the propagation of the teachings and ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salatu was salam. So, Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that Ajibtu, this is from Safinat al-Bihar of Muhaddith Qummi, and I will end my speech here. He says that Ajibtu liman yabkhal bid-dunya wa muqbilatun alayhi. I'm surprised from the person who has bukhl towards the dunya, although the dunya is coming towards him. أَوْ يَبْخَلُ بِهَا وَهِيَ مُدْبِرَةٌ عَنْهُ. And I am surprised about the person, he says that about, and also about the person that who has bukhl towards the dunya when dunya is turning away from him. And then Imam Ali says, فَلَا الْإِنْفَاقُ مَعَ الْإِقْبَالِ يَضُرُّهُ وَلَا الْإِمْسَاقُ مَعَ الْإِدْبَارِ يَنْفَعُهُ. Neither your spending is going to inflict any harm on you when the dunya is already coming towards you, nor your keeping your money with yourself and doing the imsaf, that means keeping and controlling your money and not spending for the sake of Allah is going to benefit you as long as the dunya is running away from you. So basically, we need to remember the point in the light of this hadith that sometimes according to the qada and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dunya comes towards us. He provides the material blessings to us also in addition to the metaphysical and ma'navi blessings which are superior than the material blessings. And sometimes Allah does not provide the material blessings to us or provides lesser material blessings to us. So dunya is turning away from us. So whether dunya turns away from you or dunya comes towards you, the sha'an and status of a mu'min is that, he always keeps on spending for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His infaq policy never differs as compared to the fact that whether dunya is with him, material blessings are abundant for him, or material blessings are less for him, it's irrelevant. This is one of the alamat of a mu'min that, whether he has or he doesn't have, he's always ready to spend. If you have less, you will spend less. If you have more, you will spend more. But you are ready to spend. So if you spend even one grain of wheat more than the necessity, is israf and haram. But if you give a whole mountain for the sake of Allah, fi sabilillah, it is not israf. In fact, it is sawab and reward. Whatever you do for the sake of Allah has reward and it has no limit in your spending. But if you spend any slightest amount of money more than what is required and what is necessary and wasting your money, that will be considered as haram. Remember what Farazdak has mentioned in his shi'r about Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam and his famous qasida when Farazdak read his poetry in front of Hisham ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, so in one of those ash'ar, those beautiful poem of Farazdak, he mentioned about Imam Sajjad alayhi salam that la yanqusul usru bastan min akuffihim siyan dhalika in athiru wa in adimu. This is one of the ash'ar of Farazdak, that having hard times, less money, less wealth, doesn't stop this person from spending. La yanqusu al-usru bastan min akuffihim siyan dhalika in athiru wa in adimu. It's equal for him whether he has it or he doesn't have the money, but he still spends. So this is the sha'an, ma qala la qat illa fi tashahhudihi. لَوْلَا التَّشَهُدُ كَانَتْ لَاؤُهُ نَعَمُ. He never said لا. He never said no in his life. Except in the tashahud of his prayers. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. He never said لا. He never rejected anybody in his life. Never said no. Except in the tashahud. If there was not the tashahud in Islam, even his لا would, even his no would be yes. We have 5 or so minutes if you have questions about anything of the speech. Well, non-sayyid cannot give the sadaqah to the sayyid which is sadaqatun wajiba. The wajib sadaqah is not permissible for the sayyid or hashimi person to receive from a non-sayyid person. That is haram. Inna sadaqata alayna muharramatun, how Hazrat Umm Kulthum said in the bazaar of Kufa. So that is about the wajib sadaqah, which is haram. Non-sayyid wajib sadaqah is haram on the sayyid. But the sadaqah that we are talking about is the regular charity that we give every now and then, every day, to keep the bala and different calamities and turmoils away and tests away from us. So this bala, for the daf'il bala, daf'il baliyat, this regular sadaqah is sadaqatun mustahabba. It is mustahab in Islam. This is not haram on the sayyid to receive from a non-sayyid. Non-sayyid can give it to the sayyid. Yes, Brother Makki.
How can you, if somebody, you give somebody money and they know it's sadaqa and they would take it, but if you say it again, they'll take it. In that event, how would you give a lot? Now that you change your intention, or at least lie about it.
No need to, of course, we don't lie about anything in Islam. Lying is not permitted. There's no need for us to, there's no need to for us to mention that it is sadaqah. You can just give it to somebody. This is yours. That's it. This is for you. There's no need for us to mention that, well, hey, I'm paying this sadaqah and charity to you. Of course, the guy may feel embarrassed. So there's no need. Islam is not asking us to mention what kind of money it is when we are paying it to somebody. You can just say, this is yours. Well, if you can intend the meaning of hadiyah and gift in the literal meaning of the word gift, then it is not even a lie, because it is, in the literal and lughavi meaning, it is a gift. So the lughavi meaning, if you can intend from the word, that's also not a kiz, not a lie. Yes. Yeah, even if you're not able to, that doesn't matter. Wajib sadaqah is like fitrah. Fitrah is a wajib sadaqah in Islam, for example. So fitrah is a wajib sadaqah, so a non-sayyid person's fitrah cannot be given to a sayyid person.
So any other,
we
can just give the sayyid?
Yeah, if it's a mustahab everyday sadaqah that we give out for daf'i baliyat, that's okay. Sadaqah in Islam has a very broad masraf. It is mutlaq al-umur al-khairiyya. All the good affairs of the human life. You can spend in any good affair of the human life. You can give it to any good cause. So it's not necessary that you have make sure that he's a faqir person. You give it to a faqir person only. You can give it to for any other good cause also. Somebody is raising money for any good cause, you can give the sadaqah for that. Mutlaq umur khairiyya. Sadaqah has a very broader and lenient spending in Islam.
And then you have to just that the sadaqah is automatic. Like when you're doing something good, like donating a charity, fundraising, do you have to kind of add that point to the end, or is it just automatically donated towards the good cause?
All you need to do is just to have the niyat of qurbatan ilallah in your qalb, and that's enough. As the only thing you have to have in your qalb is that, well, I'm giving this much money for the sake of Allah. That's it. It is counted as sadaqah. Yeah, there's no need for necessarily for us to mention in our niyat that I'm giving this sadaqah, quote unquote. There's no need for the word sadaqah or tasadduq. mentioned in our niyyat. Just, I'm giving for the sake of Allah, that's enough.
For the Rafi Shahr Bala, also you do the same one?
Yeah.
Do...
Of course. Laylatul Ghaib. Yes, yes, I will mention it inshallah. Those 12 records inshallah, I will mention that. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin, waqtul al-Kuffar wal-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din, waqtul man khazal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wahfaz wa ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin, wa maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin, qasim al-Waliy al-Faqih, qa'id al-Muslimin. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشيائه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على